This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and it is a beautiful day to be living in the Mid-Willamette Valley. I hope you all had a great Monday. We were off Monday, and in honor of Senator Jackie Winters, we re-aired the show we had with her here on Newsmakers. Only had the opportunity to have her in studio once. And, of course, as we've said, it is Senator Winters' direct involvement that allowed me to get introduced to KYKN and have a Newsmakers show to begin with. And the community continues to mourn. So I hope you enjoyed hearing her voice one more time and talking a little bit from January, just prior to the start of her last session representing us in our Oregon Senate. And now it's Tuesday, and that means we get to talk to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the city of Salem. There's so many things that happened. He's back talking with us because the agenda was long last night. Agenda was long, but efficient. You got to like that. When it just like goes efficiently and quickly, unlike what we're used to out of government.
Right. Yeah. Red tape galore.
Yeah. Remind me later in the hour to talk about the governor and wasting another $1 million on consultants. Okay. But that'll wait until after Mayor Bennett leaves.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So thank you.
He doesn't have to be here for that.
Well,
welcome back to the studio.
Well, thank you very much. I've been on vacation, and so I got back in town last week and was looking forward to getting here.
What is vacation like?
Vacation was a lot of driving. My wife and I went over through the Sawtooths in Idaho, drove down to southern Utah, and went to all of the parks down there, parks and monuments down there, Zion, Bryce Canyon, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
It's great. Grand Canyon.
Quite a collection of beautiful sites.
Wonderful time.
I saw a picture of you somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, you were out there on vacation.
And we were out there on vacation. That's right. Had a great time.
Well, mostly I was looking forward to last night's city council meeting and see how it goes, because you're going to have the final public hearing on the City of Salem budget.
Right, and we had it.
And it seems like pretty non-controversial?
Well, it was fairly non-controversial. There were some split votes on some issues. There were three things added back to the budget. Labeling some various activities a climate action plan. We're going to have what will be called a climate action plan. There's a lot of interest in the community in having that. We've had, as you know, an environmental action plan for years, since 2006, and have really been involved in a whole range of activities, whether it's solar or electric car stations.
LED lighting.
Yep. We've completely changed our lighting system to reduce electrical use. The list kind of goes on, but there is a sense that we need to have to recognize that a big part of what we're doing is aimed particularly at gas emission reduction. We have very high CO2 levels here in the city of Salem. We're actually really quite high, and we'll be looking, I think, at various ways to deal with that. We already have. I mean, chariots now are using natural gas. We're using electric vehicles where we can. The only mistake I've seen is the failure to put in a bridge to allow people not send trucks and cars through downtown Salem to get across the river, but that's...
And to choke up the CO2 while we sit in traffic.
Yeah, while we sit in traffic.
Mayor Bennett, I have a question about that. Are you talking about Salem's region's use, or are you talking about the city of Salem's use?
That's a good question. It is a mixed bag. There is a regional use question. The city of Salem has really tremendous reduction of CO2 gases through the city of Salem. I mean, we plant trees. We do a whole range of, we've done solar panels on top of the convention center. The list kind of goes on and on of the variety of things that Salem as a city has done. What we have not done yet is complete a comprehensive plan that recognizes the impact of transportation on the community in that way. We have a variety of other activities that we need to do that looks out into the community. The one that folks like to point to, and I find kind of interesting, is the idea that a plastic bag ban somehow represented a climate action decision. I certainly had no problem with it as a litter control. I really hate plastic bags blowing into my trees in my yard and around on the streets and in the water and in the ocean and all of that. But I think to try to say that deals with climate-related issues is kind of maybe overstating
a bit of a stretch.
So this is
what I'm getting at with this, with the climate action plan, right?
Yeah.
Is this a plan to enact public policy that affects all of our lives, or is this a plan for the city of Salem in its operations to do the best it can? That's where I'm concerned. Are they saying, is this plan to say, this is how we're going to execute this and get people to live their lives, or is it the plan, this is the best the government can do in its operations?
Well, I think it's both. I really do. I think the city is involved in comprehensive planning, and it has always been part of the comprehensive planning process to look at use of land, the way transportation fits, the way the natural environment fits into that, all of those pieces together. And this, I think, is really part of that process. So it will have impact on all of us as we look at having housing downtown. We're trying to get people closer to work where they can walk to work, which means they're not using their car as much. We're looking at parks and open space. We're looking at tree planting. It's that kind of thing, which is a broad batch of decisions and actions taken both by government and by individuals that are aimed at particularly reducing the amount of greenhouse gas out there.
All right. I'm just concerned a little bit about...
Are we going to come take your car? No.
Social engineering.
No, we will let you
drive. We've already got
the
state trying to ban straws and tax our gas with gas and natural gas and gasoline with cap and trade, and we don't want the city jumping on it and doing it as well.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get off of that for a second. Okay. You said there were three things in the budget that came up, and one was to
that was
put
that.
Some, that was that.
That was a $50,000 addition to it. I think it'll probably focus heavily on planting trees and some other stuff here in town. The other was we were going to lose a long-standing youth program director, as well as series of grants we give out for a variety of youth-related activities that occur here in the city, that the city tends to be in charge of helping getting them going, working with the school district and others to set up youth-related activities for after school, summer, other programs like that. A great deal of concern in the community losing that program and that individual who really does that work, and that was added back to the budget. And the third one was a long-range planner. We have one long-range planner in the city of Salem, and we're in the process of redoing the comprehensive plan, first time in 40 years.
Oof.
We've done that. And a real feeling we needed some additional help in the planning department, so that was added back to the budget. These were not recommendations from the city manager. He had recommended essentially against all three of these. As I know you're aware, but I'll reemphasize, we have really begun digging deeply into the city's reserves, which are funds that are used annually to kind of bridge the gap between when the fiscal year ends and when the tax collections begin again in November. Rather than borrowing money, which is an old system of doing it, the city has over the years built a pretty substantial cash reserve that is used for that purpose, and then we don't have to borrow money. It also creates a financial profile for the city of Salem that has gotten it a really outstanding bond rating, which gives us lower costs to borrow money for like the police station or the library or streets and bridges, other projects, and also allows us to receive really on each of these bond measures millions of dollars of kind of bonus funds for being such a good risk. People want to buy your bond because you're such a great risk, and you get extra money for that as well. So there is some real concern. We're headed the wrong direction on that. We're starting to deplete that fund. From what I could tell last night, I mean, remember, I'm mayor, so I'm watching everybody, but I'm listening pretty carefully. There's going to be, I think, a discussion next week, about next Monday, about an increase in fees on the utility bill, about $15 a month for every household that gets a utility bill that would go toward filling that gap. As I heard people discussing last night, I think there's some reliance on the council on the idea that will be enacted and in place. My personal reaction is, if you're going to take somebody's money, you ought to let them vote. I'm not sure that's the universal opinion. We'll see how that goes.
All right. There were a lot of other things that happened Monday night, a few resolutions. You should know what the city is supporting. So we're going to come back here after a break with Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. In our studio is Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. And let's talk about something lighter for a second. A little less dry. Can we talk about
not bored enough?
The proclamations.
Snoozing over here.
I know. I'm sorry.
Sometimes the proclamations.
Hey, but I could get into the cost per thousand. That really will put you out. Yeah.
Police officers per thousand. A couple of proclamations and some of the fun things that are happening in Salem. And proclamations can be ceremonial. They can be, good PR. They can be feel-good things. They can be recognitions, all sorts of things. But there was a couple of ones that sound pretty fun on here. Salem Alley Days.
Yes.
What is Salem Alley Days?
Salem Alley Days is a program being put on by the Main Street Association in Salem. There's the Salem Main Street Group, and there's been tremendous interest over the years in developing Salem's alleys for more active, both public and kind of commercial use. I was the downtown city councilman for about 9 years, and this was one of the issues I really championed. I continue to believe this is going to be a real game changer in Salem, and we've had, some success with it. This is to celebrate that alley system and kind of begin getting the public in tune that we're looking at some real changes in those alleys. That's going to be part of our urban renewal plan in downtown Salem. More lively, cleaner, dealing with naming them. That's the big deal right now is what do you name the alleys? And the Main
alley
Street
one,
is,
alley two.
Well, there's other names.
How expensive is that?
But to name them?
Yeah.
It's just asking people, what do you want to name the alley? And you put up a sign that says the alley's name is X.
Uh-huh.
Not much. And it's something the people who are in the alleys, who are doing business in the alleys, would like to have, is naming of it. It's also to draw interest in them. We have, and I think people are kind of, if you're familiar with downtown Salem, you're aware we have sort of Cricket Alley, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wisteria Alley, things. And those are some names that are sort of attached to them right now. This will be a little more formal process. We'll be going on over the next couple of months. There's some real specific information coming up on the city's website to give people an opportunity to participate in that process. A lot of these alleys have a lot of history, too, and there'll be some real interest in looking at the historical names for them. So I think it's going to be
fun.
It's going to be fun.
Well, and the more we can make them inviting and pedestrian-friendly, then the less there'll be a push to take away lanes and make more pedestrian-friendly the roads that we want to drive on.
Yeah, that's the part I've never understood is why we didn't get more serious about the alleys as bikeways or walkways. But I think we're headed that direction right now.
Entrances into buildings, more lighting, more inviting, just as gateways to the next block kind of thing. And you can walk all through downtown and stay on the alleyways primarily. Yeah. And well, that's cool. Well,
and some are inviting, some are not. And
right.
We need to get kind of get them pulled together.
So since you are the mayor and you wield absolute power.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling them.
Why don't you see if you can make this a little bit faster process than it was when we decided to add historical markers on buildings and when we decided to add Wayfair signs which, you know, look nice. They just took 5 years to get.
I know. It'll be
and they just study them to death.
Yeah.
And then they go out and they get federal grants and this and that. And they spend more time on staff time and meetings and years wasted than just buy the signs, put them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you some good news here. This is not being done by the city. It's being done by the Main Street Association, which is an organization of downtown people who are really putting this thing together. And I think they're ready to have this thing move out. And I think they understand if it's just turned over to the bureaucrats and the city council, it could take a while, as we saw, you and I both, in the work that was done that you described. So I'm very hopeful we'll leave it this way. When signing comes about, we have great sign people who can churn out a sign real fast. So we'll see how we can do.
A couple of months then instead of years?
Well, that's my hope.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
All right.
This has been years in the making.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned 9 years on the council. And then I've been mayor for 3 or 4 years at this point. I've had a long time and still haven't got the signs up yet. So, it takes a while.
Well, let's get even more fun. A proclamation from last night's city council meeting in Salem, recognizing Salem Brewery District. We have a brewery district?
We're going to have one in Southeast
cool
Salem. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one. I think it's something we've been interested in. The Salem Brewery Association sort of helps promote Salem as part of the brewery industry here, I didn't realize this, a $4.9 billion industry in craft brewing or in brewing. And it has created 31,000 direct and indirect jobs, as well as attracted, and this one really surprised me, 19 million visitors.
To Oregon.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Oregon is a big deal. In fact, I remember when I was in the legislature back in the early 80s, we passed the first bills to allow craft brewing. I mean, this was not the rule. I don't know if anyone remembers that. It used to be the big, you know, Rainier, Pabst, Budweiser, the big breweries were the breweries. These small craft breweries did not exist, and it took a change in law to allow them to occur. It has exploded. Well, it also has exploded in Salem, and it turns out a number of these breweries have located very close together in Southeast Salem, and this is to kind of set that up as a destination to bring people in here to visit that particular area. It's walkable and all the rest of it.
So is the district around downtown? I mentioned Southeast Salem. So is it
Southeast? And I can't tell you what streets or anything off the top of my head.
That include like Salem Ale Works and...
That's it. That's exactly it.
Okay. And Sandy M. Brewing.
Sandy M. Brewing.
We already have our downtown core of and so forth. So
yeah,
well,
it's exciting. I think it's real exciting. Yeah, I'm real proud of them asking for the proclamation. It is the kind of thing that really does attract people to a community if you are on the beer trail, the wine trail, the whiskey trail. There's a whole list of these kinds of recreational drinking and food opportunities, and Salem's putting itself on the map.
That's nice. Excellent. I mean, one more tourist on the spot, and I can't believe how effective some of those passport things are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If it's McMiniman's passports or if it's the Salem's passports, and you hit all these spots and you try everyone's different wares and so forth, and do the circuit, as it were.
Yep.
That's pretty fun. All right. Moving up and growing up, and you had one more proclamation for Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. This is the LGBTQ community is celebrating the 50th year of the Stonewall demonstrations back in New York, which were demonstrations, the real seminal demonstrations regarding gay rights and sort of the safety of gay people in any community. And this was an affirmation, a proclamation. This has gone on in Salem for a number of years. This is really an affirmation of Salem's support for the diversity of the community and this part of the community, and particularly to draw attention to this large group of people in our community in all walks of life who make significant contributions to it.
Okay. Looking further down the there were so many things in your agenda last night. There were so many. It's nice to see.
Pretty exciting.
All the things that were happening.
And you know, we did it, and we moved right along through this stuff.
Getting her
done.
Can you give us an idea? Because the first phase of Our Salem Project, the Our Salem Project, and what does that mean? We're entering that first phase.
Well, they have done a lot of it. Has been sort of public outreach. What's going right? What's not going right? What are some issue areas that folks are interested in? There's been some polling. There's been some sort of a gathering of information, making sure that as we start talking about it, we're talking about it in as big a fashion as we can. Now, Our Salem, I'm not a real fan of this name. This is the comprehensive planning process. It's a very legalistic process. We're going to be dealing with a whole range of issues, like where are the residential areas going to be? How are we going to deal with our street system and transportation system? Will you have an office building in your residential neighborhood kind of stuff? You know, it's planning. So I think it's real important as this moves forward that folks kind of understand when they hear Our Salem, they're hearing about zoning is what they're hearing about, along with a whole batch of other values and issues associated. This is setting sort of the base information. It includes a CO2 emission, a gas emission study, and some other things. And it's the one that shows Salem has some real issues with our air quality and need to pay attention to it, and some things like that we're going to continue to work on.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to take a break. Maybe we'll come back and talk a little bit about this.
No, Mayor has to leave.
But we're going to talk about this. We
have a guest.
We're going to talk about me without me.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the first thing we do as soon as the mayor leaves the room, as we start talking about him.
And we have a guest waiting.
And really we got a guest coming in. So, yeah, great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Next week we'll have a guest sitting in my seat, a guest host, but I expect you to treat them well.
You know.
Surprise.
A surprise guest.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I look forward to that.
Yes, it will be fun.
Anyway,
will
folks,
they be as nice to me as you are?
Unlikely, because I'm just so nice.
Okay.
Right?
Great.
True.
So this is Brent to the Heart. I'm here with Dave Warren, and we've been talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. We appreciate his time and his service. And stick with us. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
Thank you.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to the show, friends. This is Brent DeHart. We have a special guest, a friend of mine I asked to come on because I think the housing market and finances are two topics we talk a lot about here.
We do.
The economy, of course, how the legislature affects us, but the housing market, where we live, what we can afford, and all those things tied in to affects the mortgage rate. So with us today on the radio by invitation, Tracy Bell of Commerce Mortgage. Tracy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great.
No speakerphone, Tracy.
No speakerphone. That doesn't work well on radio.
Breaking the golden rule. Please pick up the handset.
Oh, it's not on speaker.
Oh. It's not?
All right. Well, I can understand you. All right. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. You're with Commerce Mortgage. And I know you've been around and you've been doing mortgages for a long time. In the last few weeks, though, I mean, it seems like every time President Trump does a tweet, it affects a bond market, a stock market, the mortgage market, or something. But we've seen some changes, right? What's going on out there?
What's going on in regard to interest rates or
interest rates? Yeah, people
in general.
Are people still refinancing? Or are they afraid of rates going up?
I think there for a little bit. There was a lot of concern of rates going up, and obviously we saw a little bit of an uptick. Moving forward, though, we've also seen rates come down.
You're getting really choppy on us, Tracy. Do you have a place where you can get a better signal?
No. There we go. Okay.
Oh, you're back. You're back.
Sounds good. Don't move now.
Okay. Better?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I forgot where I was. Anyway, in regard to interest rates and the market and how the market responds, there are a lot of things that go into determining, you know, what interest rates are going to do. So it's really based on supply, demand, inflation, and obviously the government affects how interest rates, what interest rates are going to do. And also, obviously, types of loans and lots of different factors go into how rates respond. So, for example, this morning, today's bond market opened in a little bit of a negative territory. And we've got coming into tomorrow some really important economic data that's going to be released as well. So we are looking for, overall, I would say that rates are continuing to get better. It's still a great time to refinance.
Okay.
And to buy, right?
And to buy, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there is. Because I'm looking at buying right now.
There is still, at least overall, a shortage of single family housing or housing out there.
I mean,
the housing still has some room to catch up from the Great Recession. And so it was a little concerns that these rising interest rates are going to continue to rise. And of course, President Trump hates the Fed for raising interest rates, blah, blah, blah. But now you're seeing they're stabilizing off, if not declining.
Correct.
Wow. Correct.
When you say Great Depression, are you talking 2008?
Great Recession.
Oh, recession.
Recession.
Because you said depression, I think.
2008, 9, 10.
Yeah, okay. So the recession of 2008, yeah.
All right. So who is this going to benefit? Are there plans out there for somebody who wants to buy their first home, people coming out of the military? I know you have special programs sometimes in lending.
We do. As a matter of fact, I am trained specially to deal with veterans and their military background and situations. As far as I think, especially in Oregon, we really need more down payment assistance type programs, and you'll see probably more of those rolling out. Commerce offers a couple of different programs for down payment assistance. So there's still lots of opportunity in regard to 100% financing, low down payments, to help people get into homes.
Okay, but you're not lending to people who are going to be upside down right away, like we're led into our great housing recession, right? 100% financing, people help with the down payment and so forth, right?
Correct.
But the concern we all have is going back to the days where everybody got a loan and they didn't really have to qualify.
You mean like you?
Right.
I can attest that there are pretty long, strict lists of requirements for getting a loan, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
There are. We have, I think, in lending, they've learned their lesson. So a lot of these programs that we used to see, 100%, 80-20 programs, 580 scores, if you can fog a mirror, you could get a loan. A lot of those types of things have gone away. So, and how they're mitigating that is through requiring higher down payments. So it's all based on risk. risk-based lending so that we don't end up back in the same situation that we were before.
Yeah, it's very true. And you know, when it comes to banking and finance and insurance, the more risk you're giving to the other party, then that's more it's going to cost you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where before, it didn't.
Good
it didn't
deduction.
Require a lot down. Not a lot of skin in the game.
Well, where are rates compared to where they were a month ago?
Rates have gotten better. You know, rates change every day. But we've seen an improvement in the market. So I think that we're going to even continue to see further improvement in the market overall over the next 6 months. It's, again, you know, it's going to be driven by inflation. I know the Fed is concerned about inflation right now. So it'll depend.
We're talking to Tracy Bell of Commerce Mortgage. She's been in the mortgage business for a long time in this town and done I don't know how many mortgages for how many people.
She could probably tell you.
But these things really affect how much home we can buy, if we can buy a home, all of those things. So they're really critical. So you're not giving us any numbers or a range, but when you say it's improved over a month ago or maybe a couple of months ago, has it improved like an eighth of a point or a complete percentage point? What's going on out there?
So I would say, well, it's ranged from anywhere between a quarter and a half of a point of improvement. Hmm. So we're seeing rates at 3.875. I'm talking about conforming 30-year fixed rates into the low threes and ranging to about 4.25%, 4.5%. So, again, it's all dependent upon risk.
How much does a buyer or a borrower gain if they go from a 30-year to a 15-year mortgage? Typically,
what do you mean? How much do they gain?
In terms of how much of a lower rate, kind of spread is that? Because I know it's a higher rate for a 30-year loan, but you can get a lower rate for 15. About what is that?
You know, again, it's going to vary. It's going to range between the low threes, 3.875 on a 15-year fixed.
No, I mean the gap, not the rate, not the number, the gap. How much does it usually save them a quarter point? Does it usually save them a half a point?
It can save them anywhere between a half to three quarters of a point.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
If they could just pay a little bit more and have their mortgage paid off in 15 years, right?
That's a pretty good deal.
Right.
That's amazing.
Well, it's a good spread. It's not, but it's not like we've seen in years past where interest rates on short-term money was a lot lower. We used to see a much bigger differentiation between the two. And so, it just depends on what the person's overall financial goal and plans are and how, as far as how we advise which one to go with.
For a period of time, I thought America had slipped and started going into like a 40-year mortgage. Do those still exist?
They are starting to roll a 40-year mortgage out. I just saw indication of that. There's a company out there that is rolling out a 40-year mortgage again.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That is a long time.
It is a, long,
is a
time,
long time,
and that's a lot of interest.
It's like having
a lot of money.
It's I'm sure.
Worse than an 8-year loan on your car.
Ish. Wow. I have one of those.
Okay, so Tracy Bell, do you see anybody jumping on adjustable rates?
I do not see a lot of people jumping on adjustable rates. It just completely, again, depends on their unique situation as far as whether we'll advise that or not advise that. We obviously run the numbers for them and run the risks, especially in the market that we're in, because as rates continue to get better, it'll look more and more attractive, but they have to have game plan and exit strategy for that particular loan.
Yeah. Are you seeing any interest-only loans again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised because I had one of those and I couldn't get out fast enough.
Right. Yeah. Interest-only, bank statement, stated income. I just saw something come across last week that was no income, no job, no assets.
Wow.
Did they get approved?
Oh, yes. No, it was just a loan program that came across my desk that somebody was trying to advertise. But again, those loan programs, you know, you're going to be looking at really low loan to value. So people are going to have some pretty serious skin in the game with a program like that.
Wow.
That's almost crazy.
All right, there's a listener right now who's got a mortgage. He or she has a mortgage, and it's over 5%. Should they be talking to somebody about refinancing?
Yes.
Okay. What if they have 4.5%? Is it worthwhile?
It depends on what the term of their loan is, how much time they have left on their loan, and what their goal is.
Okay.
Yeah, if you only had a couple of years left, you wouldn't want to refinance on it.
Right, and if you've been paying on it for 15 years, do you want to, refinance it into another 30-year fixed loan? So we try to help people make smart financial decisions when it comes to lending.
There you go, smart financial decisions and helping. We're talking to Tracy Bell of Commerce Mortgage. So one more question before we let you go. Sure. This is the struggle everybody has because, as you said, rates change every single day. And then you're talking to a mortgage broker or your banker, and they're like, "What would you like to lock in the rates?" And, we poor home buyers that don't do this for a living and just like, "I don't know. Do I want to?"
Yeah,
and
right.
You mean if it goes up, I still get the lower rate, but if it goes down, I don't get a benefit from that. How do you help guide people through that decision?
What I do is I look at market data. So I'm in the market every morning. I look at market data. I look at economic releases that are coming out for that particular week. And based on that information, that's how I advise my clients. It also depends on the individual client's threshold for risk, right? So if we know where they want to be, then, we can lock in their rate and protect them from any rate increases moving forward. It just depends on the economic data that's being released and how we can gauge, what rates are going to do.
Hmm. All right. Good to know.
So many variables.
Yeah, I just want to bring that to the listener. There are so many variables, as Tracy was saying, first part of the conversation. These are all the economic things that go into the rates, be it the market and the inflation and the risk and what the government's doing and the markets are doing. All those things play into what the rates are changing every day.
A, it's B, C, exhausting. And don't forget X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, thank you for helping with that. I know a lot of people out there are thinking of either building a house, refinancing their house, or buying their first house. And hopefully they can find somebody like Tracy they trust that they can work with.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for being here. That was Tracy Bell from Commerce Mortgage. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the City of Salem stuff. I got a little anecdote for you since we were talking to the mayor earlier this hour about how slowly things can go. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery. And if you haven't been out there, I think they're getting ready to close because as soon as they sell their last hanging basket, he's closing for the season.
Got to run out of Hamblin's in Dallas and get your hanging baskets just in time for Father's Day and the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right?
4th of July
and
hanging
the rest
basket.
Of the summer. Oh, yeah. Nice. Hey, this is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Morin. You're listening to Newsmakers. We're finishing up your noon hour. Thank you for being with us. We were talking with Mayor Chuck Bennett at the top of the hour for a couple of minutes on several topics. And just scrolling through, if you've never seen a City of Salem City Council agenda, this one's a nice snapshot because it includes a number of things: proclamations, public hearings, actions, intergovernmental agreements, and so forth. So I want to give you an idea of what that's like. There was an action item for an intergovernmental agreement. You have to have these agreements anytime a jurisdiction does business with another jurisdiction. And this one is about providing police officers for Salem-Keizer schools.
Wow.
Right? So you have to have an agreement. It's in writing. It gets approved by the council or the board in case of Salem-Keizer School District. Also, and hopefully we'll talk to the mayor about this next week, but they signed an agreement with the Rotary Club.
For what?
For the Jerry Frank Amphitheater.
Oh, nice.
Frank Rotary Amphitheater in Salem's Riverfront Park. and which is going to be amazing. And it's really great. They're going through a bunch of fundraising right now, along with a number of other large things happening in downtown Salem. But again, because it involves the Rotary, it's a non-governmental entity and so forth, it needs to come with agreement of who's going to do what. And that was passed. So, you know, there's appointment of a judge, and then for that, those with work in the municipal court and so forth. We should do a little bit of education on the municipal court, probably on another show, but municipal court handles things that the circuit court and the county court and the federal courts don't. They tend to be things like DUIs and trespassing and maybe pet issues, you know, or dog attacks, things like that. Mm. But things that get down to, you know,
like
what's
the
on
people's
the
court, you mean?
What's on the street? No, it's a minute. No, I don't mean. It's like just the municipal stuff that doesn't rise to the level of, you know, state law. Like, other than, you know, there might be a violation of Salem's revised code, the SRC, Salem's revised code. So you might,
got it.
That's where you would see somebody if they were persistently trespassing and they were cited, they'd have to appear. Or, of course, in terms of parking tickets or, like I said, DUIs are processed in the municipal court a lot.
That's more like night court then.
Collective bargaining agreement between the city and one of its five unions, the 911 Professional Communications Employees Association.
Yeah.
PCEA. A lot of people don't realize our 911 center actually... is outsourced by other communities outsource and use our 911 center and pay a fee for having one centralized. And that's fiscally responsible. That's where,
yeah, that's true.
Well, why would a smaller community need to have their own and recreate this and have its own, you know, bureaucracy and its own location? And when there's can be one professional 911 center and do a whole region.
Right.
And so they get to outsource that to make best use of the organization. And we didn't talk a ton about the budget, but we did a little bit. I did promise you an anecdote, though. So we were talking with the mayor about doing more in the alleyways.
Right.
Frankly, I don't know why this is so hard or why it's taken so long. It just seems like a bright idea. I guess it's who's going to pay for what is the issue. But that's an initiative by the Main Street Association. We've had them all here on Newsmakers, which is good because just hand it over. Just hand it over to Main Street and let them do it.
Yeah, right.
So I was on city council, 10, 12 years ago? There were two initiatives I brought forward. One was to allow the historic buildings in the historic downtown district to put a sign out either on the sidewalk or on the building that says this is historic site is historic because. A little bit of history. You
okay.
know, an historic plaque.
Makes sense.
So people that like that kind of thing and like to do the walking tours of historic areas and so forth. I'm like, you know, that building was there or this is the site of Oregon's first Capitol building or whatever. They should allow it. So that was that one. And then there was the Wayfarer signs where those cute kind of artistic signs and City Hall's this way and so forth.
Sure.
All right. They both took like 5 years. I was well off council before this happened. They took like 5 years. It is just stupid.
Yeah.
They should have gone to the historic commission because we have an advisory commission, have them pick the color, the metal, maybe a style, and just give it. Just do it.
Do it.
And in case of the Wayfarer signs, it took so many years. They got federal grants to do these things. And what happened when the federal grants, because, or national grants, they wouldn't allow any commercial signs. So you couldn't say Nordstrom's this way. You could not say this restaurant, this shop, this any of those kinds of things from which you could make money to put them up and maintain them. So they went out of their way to do too long for too little. It would just have been so easier to hand it to Travel Salem was the right thing to do. Just say, hey, Travel Salem, this is your ballpark. Tell us what rights of way you need to put these signs in. Go for it and be
get
done
her,
with it.
And get her done.
No. Public no civic involvement as far as the city's involved. That's it. That's my rant. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. Let's do this again tomorrow on Newsmakers.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.